You know, Brother Leonard, good and faithful musicians are so important. When you said that, I thought about the organist in my first church and in the last church that I pastored. Both of them still playing today. Both of them are 63 years old. It's amazing. They're the same age. Both of them started playing when somebody had to pick them up and sit them on the organ bench and their feet didn't touch the floor or didn't touch the pedals. But they've been playing the organ in their churches for over 50 years, both of them, in every service. That makes all the difference. May we pray together. Lord, it's good to be in your house today and to know that as we fellowship with God's people, in the name of Jesus, there you are in our midst. And so now, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will come and speak to each heart according to our need. Strengthen us in your presence. May this be a wonderful time of worship, a time of turning our thoughts and our hearts toward you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you would turn to Acts chapter 1. And we'll look at a verse or two in a minute. You know, my wife used to amaze me. She'd go down to the store and she'd buy a pattern, big piece of fabric, bring it home, cut that pattern out and start laying it around on that. And some of those little, you know, some of those big pieces, I knew what they were, but some of those little pieces had no clue. And when she got done cutting that out and sewing it together, you couldn't tell that it didn't come from Belk's. She was good. In fact, I went home Wednesday night and told her. My first church celebrated the 150th anniversary whenever we were there. She sewed my outfit, her outfit, and both of the kids' outfit. She said, "Not this time." I went home Wednesday night and told her. I said, "Got you a job." She said, "Not this time." But you know, what matters is the pattern. Whether you're going to be making a dress, a skirt, a blouse. She made me a leisure suit one time. You know, whatever the pattern is, that's what you get. And last week, if you remember, those of you that were here, we talked about what is the pattern or the characteristics of a New Testament church. New Testament Christian, New Testament church. And I ask you to go home and be thinking about that this week. So now it's time to turn in your homework. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. But we do want to look at, because see, I want to be a New Testament Christian and I want to be a part of a church that looks like the New Testament church. And last week we looked at the centrality of Jesus. That in the New Testament, everything revolved around Jesus. It didn't revolve around the preacher. It didn't revolve around the building. It revolved around Jesus. And this morning, the one I've chosen of the characteristics, I chose because it's homecoming. And that is fellowship. One of the characteristics of the New Testament church was the fellowship that church had. Let's look at some verses right quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all continued with one accord, fellowship, agreement, in prayer and supplication. Now go over to chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Verse 44, and they all that believed were together and had all things in common. Verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You see, there was a fellowship an accord, a togetherness that New Testament church had. Now, there are all kinds of levels of fellowship. College group of boys on a fraternity lawn playing tag football's fellowship. Folks out behind someone's house grilling hamburgers and making homemade ice cream, that's fellowship. Gathering around the table, as we'll do later today, that's fellowship. But what's real New Testament fellowship? How do you achieve it? And I want us to help us to understand for just a moment what the New Testament, right here at the beginning of Acts, faced. Now suppose next Sunday morning, when we got here, there were buses lined up all up and down the road out here in front of the church. And thousands of people were here. And when I finished preaching, 1,500 people came down the aisle and said, "I want to be saved and baptized." That's the equivalent of what happened on the day of Pentecost. They had 120, we have 60, they had 3,000, and I'm using the figure 1,500. Can you imagine if we baptized 1,500 people at one time to become a part of the fellowship at Barbies Grove Baptist Church? And now remember, different countries, different languages, new Christians. And all of a sudden, we have to integrate 1,500 people with the people that we have here now. That's what they faced. That's what they faced. And yet, they came together, and he keeps talking about one accord, daily together, fellowship, how they spent time with one another and loved one another. Now, so far, you know, in the few weeks that we've been here, I sense a great love that you have for one another. It's not always that way. I remember back when we were engaged, and I went off to preach to a church, and I got home that evening. I told my wife, she's my girlfriend then. I said, "That's the deadest, coldest church I've ever been in." I walked in. The folks on this side are sitting here like this. Folks on this side are sitting here like this. And this group was mad at this group. And I thought, oh my goodness. It's that way in some churches. It's wonderful when a church has a mutual love for one another. When the people care about one another. When there's real Christ-like fellowship. But you know there ought to be. I mean, if I'm a Christian, where's Jesus? He's in me. You're a Christian, where's Jesus? In you. Well, now, if Jesus were standing here in the flesh, I'm sure not going to say anything ugly to him. I'm not going to say anything hateful to him. I'm not going to lie to him. So if Jesus is in you, I don't want to say anything hateful or ugly to you. Because I'm talking to the Jesus in you. You see, fellowship is an awareness that we are together. We are a part of the body of Christ. You know, Paul uses that analogy about the body, and he says the eyes can't say to the feet, "We don't need you," and the hands can't say to the arms, "We don't need you." You know, it doesn't matter how much food down there on the table and how much that stomach wants it. If your hand doesn't put it in, it's not going down. And all those places in between got to work. We need one another as we fellowship together in Christ. And that's one of the beauties of being a part of the family of God. The fellowship that we have. And notice some things in here that helps build fellowship. Verse 42, the last part, breaking of bread and in prayers. It's amazing how much praying together with other believers builds fellowship. When I first moved to Chatham County, the pastors were split right down the middle. The seminary guys thought the non-seminary guys were a bunch of old fogies that were ignorant. And the non-seminary guys said, all those seminary guys, they've been to school and they've had all the fire taught out of them. Have no fire left. And yet, we decided at some point to have an associational crusade. And somebody said, let's get together and pray for a few weeks before the crusade. And so I think it was Wednesday morning, the pastors got together. They wanted to come. And we'd come to one church one week, another one another week, and one would get up and preach. And then we'd all gather around the altar and pray together. Seminary guys, non-seminary guys. That crusade came and went, but 10 years later, when I left that association, we were still getting together on Wednesday morning and praying together. And my best friends, I had 2 seminary degrees, but my best friends had no seminary degrees. It didn't matter, because on our knees before God, we built fellowship. We build a fellowship and a caring for one another in prayer. You want to build fellowship? Find some brothers and sisters to pray with. Some brothers and sisters that love the Lord like you do and pray with them. What a difference that makes. It also says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know, studying the Word of God together. Spending time. I think of a couple of pastor friends that are good friends of mine that we've studied together. We've been part of seminar. In fact, Brother High mentioned Nathan Fox this morning, and I know he's been here to preach. Nathan and I have been buddies for 35 years or more, and we've been together and studying in seminars and conferences together, building fellowship. Also talks about breaking of bread. You know, you build fellowship with people that you eat with. You spend time eating with folks. The church we attended in Tulsa probably averaged about 800 on Sunday. And you know, some of them came in this door and some of them came in this door. And you know, sometimes I'd go out and I don't remember seeing them before, you know. But I learned maybe several hundred of them. But who are our best friends in that church in Tulsa? The people that we went over to their house to eat, or they came to our house to eat, or we went out somewhere to eat together. Got an email this week from one of them. Said, you know, so we're going to Florida in December. We're going to come by and see you. Now, you know, from Tulsa to Florida, there's a shorter direction than through North Carolina. But over the years, we've become just like this. Because eating together, worshiping together, praying together, building that fellowship. And so the Lord wants us to have that. And it's important. It's important. You remember how many scriptures he talks about? If you come and bring your gift to the altar and you remember, your brother's not happy with you. Before you give your gift, go and make it right with your brother. That makes a difference. And then you know the scripture that forgives 70 times 7. Now you couple that with the one in that Paul said, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. You know, all men are not going to live peaceably with you. You ever have anybody that you had to forgive 70 times 7 because they just absolutely are contrary? Now, you don't know anybody like that, do you? I know some folks like that. And I've had to forgive them and forgive them and forgive them and forgive them. I'm not mad at them. I'm not angry at them. I'm not unforgiving to them. But they just absolutely aren't going to live peaceably. Unfortunately, most of the time they don't live peaceably with anybody, and you know they've got an inter-spiritual problem. But he says, you know, we have to forgive and forgive and forgive in order that we might minister to others. It's so important. Sometimes we wonder why prayers aren't answered. Little verse, you know, over in 1 Peter, where he talks about husbands and wives and the way they treat one another, and he says, so that your prayers are answered. I didn't find that verse for a long time. But you know, strife in the home can mess up the answer to prayer. And then when you look at Paul writing to the Corinthian Christians in chapter 11, where he talked about the strife in the church, and he said sickness and death, premature death, was a result. You see, it's important that we strive for fellowship and harmony and love in our homes, in our churches, when you go to your workplace. Strive for harmony. There may be people at your workplace or in your school that won't live peaceably with you, but you can be the source of healing and not the source of strife. You see, a characteristic of that New Testament church was their fellowship. Their spending time with one another. And that verse, it says, they continued daily with one accord in the temple. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. The more we spend time with brothers and sisters in the Lord, whether it's in a Sunday school class, in a worship service, and they talked about praising the Lord, as we get together and spend time with one another, builds fellowship. You know, sad thing is, folks that drop into church, you know, every 6-8 weeks, somehow or another, they don't ever feel the connection that you folks feel that are here almost every Sunday. And they wonder why they don't feel quite as much a part of the church. It's not because you exclude them or don't want them. It's because they don't experience that fellowship from being daily, regularly with God's people. Fellowship, love, and harmony builds witness. Do you notice there in verse 47, they were praising God, they were having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, that fellowship that they had was a witness to the community. And as a result of the witness they had to the community, folks were coming to know Jesus Christ on a regular basis. Just now I'm thinking of a church that I know In the 13 years I was in that association, I think they had 9 pastors. Some of them were really good guys. Some of them came and went so fast I never met them. Some of the ones I met were really good guys. But that church never could grow because of the strife in the church and pastors coming and going just every few months. And they wonder, you know, why don't the neighbors want to come? Why don't the people that we reach out to want to come? People are looking for a place where they can experience love, where they can experience the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, where they can experience the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, where they can experience, even though they mess up, they're still loved, they're still forgiven. Aren't you glad that there's a place that even though, you know, you blow it occasionally. Maybe you don't, but I do. We blow it occasionally. And still there are people that love us even when we blow it. And the world is full of hurting people that just want to know, does anybody love me? Will anybody accept me? Will anybody care for me? There's another thing in here. They talked about, you know, it says talk about selling their possessions and giving them to every man as they had need. And talking about just ministering to one another. Another way to build fellowship is the way you join together to minister. The guys and ladies that I've been with on mission trips to Brazil and Honduras are special because of the ministry we had together. Some of you know my wife and I used to be a part of the North Carolina Baptist Lay Witness Group. The people that were a part of that group that we ministered with were special. Special friends. As you minister, see, as you pray together, as you study together, as you fellowship together, as you minister together, you build that kind of koinonia, that kind of fellowship that the New Testament church had. And that kind of koinonia, fellowship, that's a witness to a world that wants to know, is there a place I can experience the love of Jesus? They had it. I think maybe you do. But let's strive for more of it. Let's strive for more of it. I sort of chuckle to myself every so often when I read that verse where Paul says about the two women, you know, that were in disagreements that they used to work with me, now they're fussing and go see if you can help them get it straightened out. You know, I wonder how they would have felt if they'd known 2,000 years later, people are going to still see their names fussing. You know, I'd hate to think that I think the Lord's coming, but if he didn't, I'd hate to think that somebody doing the church history for Barbie's Grove in the year 4000 would say, you know, Ed and Leonard had a real knockdown drag out and we had to ask Tim to try to straighten them out. You know, I'd hate to think that'd be in your church records 2,000 years from now. You see, fellowship is so important. So important that we strive to love one another with the love of Christ. And when we do that, we're blessed. The people that we love are blessed. And the witness for Jesus shines in a community. So we have our invitation. There may be somebody here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe somebody that needs to rededicate your life. Might be something else. You just may stand where you are and say, Lord, I've been out of fellowship. I've not been having good thoughts about this one or that one, and just confess it right where you are. Any way that you need to respond, would you respond?